Hello, I'm Remy.
And I'm Beth.
And this is Brother Knows Quest, the podcast where I, your host, introduced my sister here to the wonderful world of tabletop role-playing games, one at a time, about once a week. And this isn't a review. I should start off by saying that. I haven't been saying it a lot. It's more of a discussion about the game, kind of an explanation a little bit, because if I haven't properly played it, I don't want to call it a review. But do you know what we're talking about today, Beth?
No.
Okay. It's this.
It's still in the wrapper.
You could take that out. I got the PDF too.
Okay. Basic Role-Playing Universal Game Engine.
Yep. It's another universal game. But this one, it uses some rules that might seem kind of familiar to you. It's powered by Basic Role-Playing, BRP. It's from Chaosium. Do you know what Chaosium creates?
That's my ASMR for the day.
Yes. Chaosium creates a little title known as Call of Cthulhu. The RPG, not the story. It was published in 2023. I bought it last year. Got the PDF directly from Chaosium. You can also find it at DriveThruRPG. I'll have an affiliate link in the description. If you'd like to help us out, go ahead and go there. Anything you buy, don't have to be this game. Anything you buy will help us out if you use that link. Anyway, how many pages are in that book? Because it's a chunky one. It's a standard size tabletop role-playing game, like the size of a D&D book, but it's thicker.
Okay, I'm not going to count index. So...
253. Yeah, that's plenty. I got a table of contents here, kind of give you some ideas. Well, actually, first, let me tell you more about what the game kind of can do. It was created as a system in 1978 for RuneQuest, Greg Stafford's Fantasy World of Glorantha. I've got this game. I'll talk about that next time, because we've already covered Cthulhu, but I wanted to cover the basic mechanic book first, the basic role-playing version. So if you want to put any setting you want in your game, with any kind of, it could be modern, it could be fantasy, whatever. That book you have in your hand will do that for you. We've covered games like this before, like the Cypher System Core Rulebook or Fate. Savage Worlds also does that very well. But this is one book to cover them all. I'll talk more about Glorantha next time, or RuneQuest. I also had Call of Cthulhu, which is probably their biggest title that I can think of. World of Wonder, Fantasy World, Future World, Super World, a lot of things are under this. And then also, it has influenced a bunch of games, like Demons and Dragons. I can't pronounce the original name for it because it's in another language, European language, one of them. Mm-hmm. But we have covered this, the newer version of it. It's called Dragonbane. You know, the one with the angry duck people in it that the TikTok keeps taking our video down about?
Oh, yeah. Yes, because ducks are what we need to worry about.
Yeah. So the old version of that was use this kind of system a little bit. The first chapter is the introduction, tells you how to play a role-playing game. It goes to page 9. Characters start on page 9. Skills are on 33. Powers are 53. How the system works, basically the rules, is 109. Combat is 123. Spot rules are 139. Equipment, 157. Game mastering, 191. Setting, 205. Settings, I should say. Creatures, 221 to 250, pretty much. And then you have appendices starting at 250 and index after that.
This is like a textbook.
Well, it's meant to be a generic role-playing game. How do you like the art in it, though?
The art is very
it
nice.
It covers, like, each image covers multiple genres.
Yes, it does.
Because that's what the game is about.
But, not a boring textbook, but a textbook that is fun.
Yeah. I know.
And tells you a little bit of everything.
It gives you a little bit of information about what you need. It goes into the settings later on, which are kind of more important to us. Character attributes follow a 3d6 curve, and weapons use various die types. But other mechanics are even simpler, which is the percentile die, the d100 that you roll. The system is friendly to newcomers, the game claims, and I kind of agree. We have had friendlier, like the Tiny D6 system, but this is, you know, for some people, want a little bit more crunch, or... you'll like the way, like Call of Cthulhu, this is a skill kind of, the more you use a skill, the more it levels up. So it ain't like D&D, you can just level up a skill you've never used before as you level up. This game, you have to roll that skill occasionally to actually make it get better, like practicing.
Oh.
Yeah. Even if you don't do very well at it, use it. Find the reason to use it, you know? Apparently, people find it much less mechanistic and less of a barrier to the act of role-playing, which I have, like I said, played Call of Cthulhu. And yeah, it's easier to role-play a game with so many different skills you could choose from. It don't have to be all crunch. D&D, you try to find a way to role-play your particular thing. your best skill, the best way you can if you're going to roleplay at all. Some people just roll. This game, you kind of know. If you don't do well on it, you're still using that skill. And then part of my notes right here says, characters evolve based on practicing the skills they use the most. You learn, do something well, you learn from that, and you're more likely to be successful in the next attempt. Combat can be very quick and deadly, which is a thing I experienced in Call of Cthulhu. I didn't. Everybody else did. It's very modular, as you could tell. As you're flipping through that, it has a wide variety of applications.
Mm-hmm.
And it has levels of complexity that are also modular. You could take certain aspects out, like certain skills you won't be using in a fantasy setting, or you won't be using in a modern setting. Just don't bother with those. Or certain rules. They have rules for horror, sanity, obviously, other things that carried over from other games, or just all kinds of, I might talk about those here in a minute, too. And it does so with a minimal number of rules, for the most part, because of, well, its modularity. Pendragon is another game that kind of had a thing that Greg Stafford made Pendragon. But I've heard, I haven't played it, I haven't even got it, so I can't say for sure. I guess I could have looked and seen that it really doesn't have a whole lot of basic role play in it. I might be very wrong about that. Somebody let me know. I might look into Pendragon one day. It has useful things that you could pop into it, like magic points. The game goes on a wound system. You have minor wounds and major wounds. Of course, you have passions, an optional system where a strongly held belief towards a subject is measured on a percentile basis, such as devotion, fear, hate, love, loyalty. I'm pretty sure sanity we could be one of those. We just talked about that a moment ago. And you have power points, which pretty much is magic points. Depends on what system, what kind of setting you want to use. As you create a character, you could start off on a normal level. They have like 3 levels you could start off. Characters have no powers or very few. Barely more than an extraordinary talent. One single ability they have might be pretty good. Suitable for horror games, modern adventure games, where technology and wit are often the decisive factor in survival. Then you have heroic, where you're usually an inexperienced hero or villain. You're like an apprentice wizard in training, as the book says. Mutated survivor of a radioactive apocalypse, like in Fallout. Or a high fantasy world of wizards and warriors, which kind of makes me think of Conan, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have epic level, where you're basically archmages, formidable supernatural beings. Sample games might be a veteran costumed hero or villain, a veteran supernatural hero fighting the forces of darkness in the shadows of a modern world. Kind of like Harry Dresden. Character creation is, it goes by a number of steps. They have optional ways of making your character, like choosing a character's values, starting first, or higher starting characteristics, options. You can have non-human characters, of course. What would be the point of a universal game if you couldn't play an alien or some sort of mutant? But the character creation does go into great detail. A lot of steps. I'm not even going to get into them. There'd be so many to cover, solely because it would be where it's so modular. It kind of has, you know, options, the ones you can just don't bother with. Like optional bonus things, like you could cover hit points per location on the body. Kind of cool, if you want to get more detail. D&D, you just say you got hit, and okay, I'm acting like nothing's happened because I'm still just as strong as I ever was.
Yeah, this seems pretty detailed in all of its areas.
Also, you could skip parts of it because it's not necessary.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, it's varied, but it also seems to have quite a bit of detail.
You can make it quite crunchy if you wanted to use all the rules. If you really wanted to, you could bog yourself down in numbers, but at least they'd
that
be
sounds smooth. Miserable for a game master.
Yeah. Not really. The game master kind of tells what to roll and you roll to beat it. It's not that hard to run from what I've seen.
If you have all of them mixed together.
Yeah. You have fatigue point options too. So, of course, the more you do things, the tireder you get in real life. Why wouldn't you have fatigue points? You have personality options. And have you seen the character sheet?
I just now turned to that. This mm-hmm. Is this a hit point chart? Destroyed. It looks like a bingo card.
Where is it? Oh, yeah. It's how you track fatigue or sanity. We've seen the sanity one before in the PowerPoints.
I don't remember having a chart like this ever.
No, this is not. This is on Call of Cthulhu kind of stuff. Oh. Sanity, we have a sanity chart. You roll under in Call of Cthulhu. So you're trying to not roll the number you have or higher. So if your sanity was 32, that means you're more likely to have a breakdown if you come to a something monstrosity you see in Call of Cthulhu. And
wait a minute. So do you need both of these character sheets?
What? Yeah. I'll show you. I've showed you Call of Cthulhu's character sheets one time. Oh, maybe I had them because I was looking through the starter set and you were looking through the core book.
This
when we done ours, it comes out like a little pamphlet, a little book, like a 2-page book.
Okay. There's still a lot on here.
Yes.
And it's got percentages and everything.
A lot of that's percentages. Yes. Like if you were going to roll a jump skill or a pilot skill, you see pilot over here under physical. One of those in Call of Cthulhu would be the easy task and one would be the more difficult task, kind of like advantage or disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And one would be, of course, lower number, which means you'd have to roll even lower than that to get, which would be the harder one to roll.
You better have a very good eraser.
Yeah. And these change because as you level up, or as you act.
That's what I'm saying. You better have a very good eraser. But I was just thinking, not that this really has, it's about the character sheet, but my Good Notes app.
Yes.
This would definitely come in handy, like to take a picture of it or scan it and put it in that app. And it would be so much easier to.
You go on their website. I'm pretty sure you go on their website. Or if not, you can find them other places people have made them. And you can get fillable PDF ones. So it's basically a PDF for your digital device. You
fill in the number. Yeah, but I like having my pen. My Apple pen. But that would be awesome with that app.
Now, to be fair, like I said, I don't know these rules very well. I played the game once and watched people play and listened to people play. And I really, if I ever got enough people to want to play this, I would certainly run a game using this. I would probably, at first, stick to the starter set of either, because I do have RuneQuest and Call of Cthulhu. I would stick to a starter set of one of those two first, just to get the rules down for this. And then if I wanted to make another setting, I'd grab this. But if you have ever played those two games or want to try an RPG, because it does cover the basics. It's just a little bit harder to make your character at first.
Yeah, but it looks like it would
But it's
be
easier
worth it.
Once you get going.
Yeah.
And they see the little check boxes on your character sheet. If I remember correctly, in Call of Cthulhu, you check that if you use that skill and done well and you remember to.
Yeah, that's what I figured the percentage thing was for too.
The percentage is your skill. So what if you had like a 50 or 49% on something?
Yeah.
You would roll your D100, and if you got under 49, it was a success.
Yeah, but I know one of my biggest problems is putting the character together in the beginning.
This would be a troublesome thing for you.
Yes, it looks like that would be me cussing the whole time, but it does look like it goes to enough detail that once I actually got that done, it would be so much easier to handle.
Yeah.
And know what you're doing and know who your character is.
And there's YouTube tutorials for that kind of stuff, too. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure my friend who played the game for me, ran the game for me when I played it, Call of Cthulhu, that is, there's online character generators that will help you create a character.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe a character generator, and you just keep pushing it until you find something you like.
I'm not sure if the Basic Roleplaying 2023 edition has one yet, because it takes a while for those to be made unless the company themselves make it.
Why don't you just ask some sort of AI?
I could, but just if you ask me, just Google it. Just Google 2023 basic role playing character generator, and you'll find what you need most likely. If not, the rules are here. They're not that hard to follow. They literally have a list, and it tells you option right beside something, or is it option? So you don't have to have it. That'll be up to your game master, or to decide if it's an option you need to apply to your making a character list. You see what I'm talking about. Have you seen it yet? The character creation list? Go to page 10. You'll see option beside certain things. I like how light it is. The paper is so nice.
It is.
They make a good game.
What am I looking for?
Page 10. Look at the character creation. That's like a start step one, name characters and all that. You see option beside certain things. Those are things that your DM will decide if it's going to be applied to your game and your setting. So not all of those are used.
Okay. So that, as long as the...
As long as you know which ones apply to your game,
yes,
you just
as
go
long
down
as
this
the
list
game master
and do
has
what it
made
says.
That clear before I go in and try to make my character.
Look at step four, characteristic roles, like multiply strength times 5 for your effort roll. That's how this game works. So you will, some people will need a calculator, obviously, to get your character started, because they're not small numbers, kind of like D&D, where you get like 20 is about as high as your stat will go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a certain skill will probably be 5 at the most. This, you have up to 100 or more. What is it? Charisma is times charisma 5 by 5 to get your charisma or charm roll. It's not necessarily very difficult.
I'm not very good at coming up with backstories.
No, I wasn't. That's my problem. I was really bad at that in this. So John, the guy who ran my game of Call of Cthulhu, helped me. He had pre-gen characters, which was great. I was an explosive expert and blew up pretty much an Egyptian god.
Mm.
But yeah, there's all kinds of cool little things here. It tells you how to make a setting later on in the book. You can go through, it gives you ideas of not just setting, but what certain rules should be in that setting. So you don't just kind of go blindly and say, maybe this will apply for me.
Yeah.
For my game. Like prehistoric age, you have crafters, farmers, hunters, shaman, timber folk. I almost said tiber folk. It tells you the technology, the adventures that you could have. And then the ancient world, you have character types like journalists, scientists. And these are things you create as you go along. Character creation is fairly easy when it comes to skills, obviously. I just mentioned that. But there's also, it's kind of like a blank slate you make, not like a set on class you play as normally, because it's just the way these games work. Yeah, they have, like I said, prehistoric age, ancient world, early medieval, high fantasy, Imperial Asia, which is kind of cool, Arabian Nights, Enlightenment, and Renaissance, which I always wanted to play a game of the Renaissance, Industrial Age, Victorian Age, Age of Exploration, Age of Sail, Age of the, or sorry, Wild West. I almost said Age of the West. We have Pulp Era. Pulp Era is between Second World War and First World War. I said those backwards. Then you have Planetary Adventures, World War II, Modern and Super World, which is Heroes, obviously. Post-apocalyptic, which is one of my favorite. I like the art next to the post-apocalyptic one. Near Future and Cyberpunk, which you can't go anything without cyberpunk these days. Space Exploration. It covers so many. Like a lot of the space opera. Who wouldn't want a space opera? Hybrid settings. Alternate histories are really fun in themselves. Like Weird Wars that we covered last time as part of the Tiny Cthulhu micro setting. They had a Weird Wars thing. You can have that here. You could have powers and settings, tells you what powers, explains what the settings are kind of like. And then it goes into creatures, all kinds of creatures, which, what is it? Da Vinci's artwork. What is it? The Centurion Man? What is it called?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
The man with, that's got like 6 legs or something, yeah, 6 it's arms. Like
a lot of the art is set up like that. And a lot of the art is like that in here. It has a creature or a person or some character class, a setting or painted like or drawn like a Da Vinci drawing, and in each hand it is holding a different settings item. Like you'd see a firearm in one hand and a wand in the other hand, or a scimitar in one hand and a laser pistol. And it's just cool. I think it's on the cover, actually, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't see normal fantasy stuff in this. You see kind of Bronze Age stuff in this, because that's what RuneQuest is.
Mm-hmm.
So you see more. I mean, it's fantasy, but it's not the kind you think of when you think of D&D.
Yeah.
It tells you how to make monsters and goes into that. Have you looked at any of the creatures in there? I didn't take any. I know you like to look at the creatures, so I didn't look at them.
There's not that many pictures of the creatures. I kind of just skimmed through it.
It just gives you skill or like their abilities. And
Yeah.
But no.
But this is one of those that it's not hard to navigate. But like I said, it's a textbook. You would have to spend more time than just skimming.
The best art is on like the backdrop of the pages, not meant to be an actual thing that the page is covering. It's more like a subtle nudge towards what the page is covering, like creatures. It doesn't show a mage or something. It shows, I do believe, it could be a deep one or some aquatic monstrosity.
Yeah. But no, the way I read this book is you can read little subtitles or try to skim it, but once you take that test, you're going to realize you should have read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And not just the little subtitles or the notes.
Well, what was it? I said the rules were only from pages, system and combat are like 109 to 123. It isn't chocked full of them. And a lot of those are probably optional. Once you get, me and John, when we were all playing, it wasn't very crunchy. I just had to roll a die and it really wasn't difficult. The rules are just percentile die. Not like D&D where there's so many grappling rules and all that. They are there, but they're not as complicated. The hardest part of it is the character creation, because of the, if you're really, really good at character creation or numbers, you could be good at character creation of this. And after that, it's kind of a breeze. I could see how people might get a little put off by the character creation if they didn't...
Intimidated.
Yeah, intimidated if they didn't know how easy it was afterwards. And really, it really isn't that difficult in creating, I found out. No. What do you think of this? If nothing else, just the book quality, because the book quality is very nice.
Yes, it is. I like it. It's especially a nice change since we've been talking about tiny stuff, yes. Which I like the tiny stuff for, as I mentioned, it's just easier, but this looks like there's so many options.
Oh, there is.
So I like that.
I don't think we've had this many since Savage Worlds and Numenera, or not Numenera, Cypher System. I would almost say it's better laid out than Cypher System's book. Fairly sure there's some decent YouTube reviews that would cover it better than I can, but you should look into it. I can't put an affiliate link for the physical book up because I don't have one. You have to go to Chaosium to get the physical book and the PDF free. But if you just want the PDF at a fairly good price, I'll put the DriveThruRPG affiliate link in our description. Anything else to say about this before we go?
No.
Okay. Well, that's all I got to say. Again, I encourage you to at least look into it. If you don't get it, that's fine. Not every game's for every person. If you like what you've heard here, my ramblings, you can find more of our content. We're part of the Gruesome Gaming Group podcast network. We have two other podcasts. One is Horrific History and Hauntings. It's what my sister here tells me about everything that's in the title. Horrific history, a haunting, sometimes some true crime. And you can kind of judge which ones are going to be history and which ones are going to be fiction. Yeah, some of them obviously won't be real. Some of them are a little bit of mix and match. We have the Mothman episode. I kind of like that one, where we cover actual tragedy that was blamed on a cryptid. You know, we'll always try to point out when something is going to be obviously not 100%
history
true.
Or ghosts or... Yeah. We just don't know. We'll try to mention it.
Then we have Leveling Duo, which is a sporadic podcast where you don't come out an episode every week. But if you subscribe, you'll know when one comes out. It will be about me and my sister, me and my friend Dakota. It started off with me and my friend Dakota, and then it kind of split. We talk about video games we like, or if we've played in the past that we really like, something like that. We have those, and we have, you can find all that. There'll be a Linktree link in the description of this episode if you're watching it on YouTube. And if you're not watching it on YouTube, you can, or you can find it where you get your podcasts. Obviously, you found this one. In that Linktree, there'll be a bunch of social links, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Threads, Instagram stuff. Kind of cool. TikTok is a good way to reach out. But our YouTube and the first link in the Linktree will be our website. It will take you to all of our podcasts where you could subscribe or get the RSS feed for each one you want, or just Google us. That'd be easy. There'll also be emails in the description. You could reach out to us directly if you don't want to use the socials. One's for the Gruesome Gaming Group in general. It'll come straight to me. One is for, well, actually, that'll be the only one in the link of this episode. Thank you for listening. I have been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been Further Nerd's Quest. Bye-bye.